I want to call your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 2 again, looking at verse number 9 and 10. And as you're searching for that passage, I'm going to go back to the book of Genesis for just a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, remember that Paul is telling them how they ought to act in the church. That's chapter 3, verse 15. God requires us to conduct ourselves in a prescribed way. Would you all agree with that? I mean, there's a way that God expects us to act in the church. In the second chapter, he's addressing women in the assembly. And he said, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, and in like manner, having the same proper attitude. He says, also that the women adorn. The word, by the way, adorn means to look good. God's not against you looking good. It's about how you want to look good. So adorn is where we get the word, by the way, cosmetics. Y'all ladies know about that stuff? So God wants us to make something attractive. I just want you to understand that God wants you to be attractive. I'm just saying that because God doesn't want you to look like a bag lady, okay, ladies? And I always said, if the old barn needs painted, paint it. And I see some of you already done that. I keep getting pushed back. Just remember, the last goes first. So, all right. So, you know, you don't have to look like your grandmother. I'm just saying that because I know that this is a controversial passage, and I guess I ought to say it in the beginning, kind of a disclaimer. I'm not a fashion police. I'm not telling you that doesn't look good on you or that's not the right thing to wear. You're going to have to make a decision just out of the principles that are in the text, right? So we're not trying to give you a legalistic dress code. How far back do I got to go? I'm going to be across the street in a moment.
The best thing would be for all of us to move up front and you stand on the boat.
Oh, we ain't going to try that.
That's the only way it's going to work.
I ain't going back any further.
All right, then come up further because right now the speakers are hitting the chandelier and it's bouncing off the chandelier and hitting your mic.
Good night. You got to be kidding me. Let's just go home. Good night. Well, anyhow, I wanted to call your attention by way of introduction to something I think is kind of important. If you remember over in Genesis chapter 2, there's an odd description about a tree. It is the knowledge. The tree is of the knowledge. Say the knowledge of good and evil. Not just good and evil, but the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, once they eat the forbidden fruit, God says now, he said, they're like us, later on in the chapter, knowing good and evil. Now, here's the difference. What they are pursuing is not philosophical knowledge. Knowledge is power. What they're after is practical knowledge, and here's the difference I want you to see. From that moment on, goodness or good is no longer rooted in what God says is good, but goodness is determined by what man says is good. In other words, mankind is determining what the code of ethics are going to be, and you can see it in our generation. Just say amen if you're still with me. So we are deciding what is right and wrong. Now, I bring that up because underneath the whole problem when we look at the scriptures is that man rebels against the sovereignty of God. He desires to be independent. He wants to live the way he wants to, and he's going to decide whether or not what's right and wrong. So when we get into this chapter, I could put the title in, Does God Care About What We Wear at Church? You're taking the fifth? Does God care about what we wear in the assembly? You're not sure. Pardon?
He cares.
Okay. So God cares about what we wear in the church. Now let me ask you another question. Does he decide or determine what we ought to wear in church? Some are going like this. I'm sorry? Now don't use them big words on me. I didn't catch it, Bob, really. Arbitrary or voluntary?
Arbitrary.
I'm going, well, how many think it's arbitrary? Do y'all know what arbitrary is? Or do you think it's voluntary? How many think it's, what we wear, we decide? Wait a minute, I thought you just said, no, wait a minute now. Do we decide how we ought to dress in church, or does God decide? Now, I've got to keep moving back, I can tell now. All right, now watch. Watch it here now. Pardon? Yeah. If he says modest, then he determines, right? That's what I'm after. If he says there is a certain way, now he's addressing women, but that doesn't exclude the man in some of this. But is not God saying how we ought to dress in the assembly? In modest apparel that's discreet, respectable, and decent. Does God say that? So don't get mad at me. God said that, didn't he? All right, now watch what happens. Maybe I ought to give you just a glimpse of history a little bit. You got to remember that for the most part in the primitive world, before the Industrial Revolution, really, all the way up to there, most clothes were hand-stitched. Can you all remember that? I mean, you didn't get to go to Walmart or Penny's to buy your clothes. I mean, people made their own clothes. So having clothes, how many would admit you got more than two dresses in your closet? How many have 10? Those hands aren't going up. But how many you got? All right, fellas, how many shirts you all got? Anybody, how many got more than 10 shirts? All of you do. All of you do. In those days, they generally had two sets of clothes. One that was very coarse fabric, which was used for working in the field. It would get tattered and ragged and torn and all of that. Then they had a set of clothes. And by the way, they had a set of clothes not to go to church. They had a set of clothes to go into town. How many can remember your grandfathers wouldn't go into town unless they got all dressed up? Anybody remember those days? There's a couple here. But I mean, back in the 20s and 30s, you didn't go into town. Even if you lived in a small town, you didn't go into town unless you dressed up. You didn't go to town in your old clothes. Now, what's interesting, I think, which is a lot of times people want to deny, is that clothes reflect some things about us. In fact, that's what research says, that's what Psychology Today says, that's what the psychiatrists say, whether we like it or disagree or not agree with it at all, what they're telling us, here's the evidence, that what we wear reflects to others and to ourselves something about our character. Now you know Jesus said in John 7:24 that we're not to judge according to appearance, right? But we do. People judge you by the house you live in. They'll judge you by the car that you drive. And they'll judge you by the clothes you wear. Whether we like that or not, whether we disagree or agree with it, the truth and the research and the facts are people will judge you by what you wear. That's fact. So what we wear reflects. It says something to others and ourselves. Now I'm going to get into text, but I want you to understand something. And I know what happens here. It makes me feel like I'm a dinosaur, you know. And, you know, the things that I say sounds to you like the views of the 1920s. I understand that. But if you go back just 20, 25 years, what they were wearing in the 60s would be considered, you know, let me do it this way. What people are wearing today, I mean today, I got it right, today, would have been considered underwear back in the 1960s. Now here's the problem, and there's a lot of problems, but here's what's going on. You see, and anybody's teaching or scholastically involved understands that in the school they've abandoned the ship. Right? And the parents don't want to get in the battle with the kids because it's easier to abandon the ship than fight with them all the time. Well, you're not going to wear that. You're not going anywhere out there like that. And what's interesting, you know, even if you go into the secular arena, and I better keep stepping back. Y'all get too far up there, but I want to be able to hit you too. So even if you go into the secular arena, into the workforce, the more you get into professional ethic or professional jobs or vocations, what you will see many times is that the manager has to call somebody across and say, you can't wear that like that in here. That's not professional. Now, let me go a little bit further for a moment and see if you have to agree with me, I think, but would you say that some of the clothes that people are wearing today, and not only young people, but even some of the older people are wearing clothes that are rather seductive? Now, ladies, you may not understand this, but men see with their eyes, amen? I mean, we are affected, I don't know, but we are affected by what we see. Fellas just go like this, you know. We just go. Just pretend your wife isn't there for a moment, but just go like this. Women are more affected by what they hear. Oh, honey, I love, you know. But men are seducted by what they see. That's a fact. That's why Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Because they may have been dressed in kind of loopy back there, too. See? So this whole clothes thing, I know how controversial it is, and I know how contentious it is. And I've said to several people, it would sound strange to me, because I didn't grow up in the church. But when I came in the church, some of you might remember this. I remember coming in the church, well, a few years ago. And I remember that you at that time, that the thing was you could not wear shorts. Anybody remember that? Now, and they were talking about not shorts in the assembly. They're talking about shorts anywhere. It had been something else for somebody to walk into the church with shorts on. And I went and visited a person one time, you know, and I ran up. I was coming up in the yard, driving up, and the lady out there was in shorts, and she ran into the house to change them. He wasn't wearing no bikini. So I'm just giving you how things have really changed and the decline. See, because the ladies, and now listen, ladies, you got responsibilities, but the ladies are wearing some things that cause men to lust. Now, they ought not to lust. I'm not saying, but they do. So would you say that that's inappropriate clothing? See? So let me go ahead. I kind of snuck up on you a little bit there. But just let me read the text, because again, whether we agree with some of the things here, here's the point. Here is what God, by his sovereign right and his authority, is saying how we ought to dress in church. And he's talking particularly against to the women here, because evidently this was the problem. So here's what he says. In like manner, I want the women to adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now, I did write down what it is in the Greek, and I know what the dictionary says, but I think the dictionary in this case says it better than what it does in the Greek, because the Greek just means cosmos and order and arrangement, and what in the world does that mean, all right? But let me give you a definition of what modest means, and then you can determine whether or not, you know, you're dressed modestly. Does that make sense? All right, so having or expressing a humble opinion of oneself and its accomplishments and ability. In other words, there's a humble way of dressing versus flashy and showy and fancy and swanky and all of that, okay? Reserved, not ostentatious or pretentious, not extreme or excessive. Decent. So God would have us to dress in a proper manner, I think, right? And look, now watch it here, because you see, when someone comes in and I don't want to get into the particular things that the ladies are wearing, I'll be in trouble more than I am already, but I want to say something. I mean, people, whether or not people are going to look, and I'm sure it's already happened, but people are going to look over and say, man, did you see what she was wearing today? Did you see so-and-so? Do you all agree that that happened? Now, I'm not arguing about what they're wearing. I'm just saying, do you think that people at some time, some way, are looking and saying, you know, whew, man, oh, man, how did she get into that dress? I'm just trying to be real and pretty, you know, communicate in a way that you get a hold of this. So if that's causing other people, now here's his point, because the worship service was being disrupted because the ladies were taking leadership and all of that stuff we talked about this morning. But here's the thing. This also, Not only was this business of women teaching and having authority over the men, not only was that going on, but there were some ladies coming in, some women coming in that were dressing in such a way that caused the worship to be distracted. Well, every sermon I do preach needs to be on Sunday morning anymore. I know, but I can't, you know, what are you going to do? I only get two shots on Sunday. Now, what were we talking about, Bill? I forget. So all I'm saying is, you know, what Paul is really saying is the way that the women were dressing was causing a disturbance and a distraction in the worship service. And what he is preaching against is the women to dress in a certain way that causes it to be ostentatious. Here, by the way, he's talking about being overdressed. And if he were living today, he'd be talking about being underdressed. But I'm trying to say in all of this that God really does care about what we wear. He cares about, hey, how about that? He cares about what we wear. That's the sermon title. Okay. But he does. And so should we. And so, you know, when you get up on Sunday morning to dress, you ought to be thinking about, and I know this is not, if I was talking to 200 teenagers, this might be more relevant. But, you know, okay. And I know that you parents struggle with the young folks, and I know some of us grandparents are going to be dealing with some of those. Yeah. And so I said earlier this morning, I'll try to get through this, but I said earlier this morning, the world does not dictate the policies of the church. The Bible does. And so God is saying in a very simple but profound way, dress properly. Dress properly. And to finish it, I'll read the rest of the verse and then let you go. In like manner also women, inspired word of God, Holy Spirit, adorn themselves in modest clothing, apparel, with propriety and moderation. Not, when he says with braided hair, gold, pearls, that's the overdressing. That's where the emphasis was. Listen, when I said reflect character, the emphasis when people dress that way, the emphasis is not spiritual, but it's on the body. See? They're dressing for the body. And so let a woman, oh, that's another sermon we preached already. But women which profess, I'm sorry, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Simple sermon. Needs to be practical, and it's a challenge, and I'm telling you, it's a real challenge today. It's a real challenge today for people to dress properly. And you can go anywhere. I go to Starbucks, but you can go anywhere publicly, in the school, in the workplace, in the church, and see the problem. And until we recognize that God has that sovereign right, I don't have the right to say, I'm going to dress any way I want to, but God has the right to tell us, in principle, how to dress. Amen? All right. If you're here tonight and you haven't given your life to God, we certainly want to give you opportunity. If you're here and you have not repented of your sins, if you have not been immersed in the waters of baptism, why don't you do it tonight as we stand and sing?